Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. This is Marian Meadows. another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janie and Ingram. Good morning, family. Welcome. We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that there's one power and one presence. Yes, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that our God is not. So in this right now moment, I want you to invite the presence. As we enter into the stillness, be still. Taking in a deep breath, recognizing that there's power in the breath, family. And sometimes we forget to breathe. Today, I just want you to breathe by taking in that deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and release the breath. Be still and know that I am God. I want you to breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. I want you to move from your head into your heart. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And as we enter into forgiveness,
day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be, and it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in and release the light. Breathe the light in and release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes. And stretch your body. allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Marvin Sapp, Perfect Peace. I don't know what it is about that song. He will keep you in perfect peace. It just does something to my soul. It does something to my soul. He said he will be the keeper of your soul. He will cradle you in his love, in his perfect peace. And it was interesting this morning because listening to Ayana, she asked us to forgive at the soul level, that the light will go from the crown of our head to the soul. I was like, okay, God. Whew. All right, we're going to read from the science of the mind. And today's science of the mind is interesting because I was I got a notification on Facebook that someone who's on the prayer line wrote a poem. And he put me in it and he said, when he thinks of this saying, he thinks of me, be still and know that I am God. And that's what today's science of the mind, be still and know. You know, be still and know was adopted in my life when I was in fear, or I was going for something, a new job, and I would have this anxiety, or life was going in a different direction than I expected it. I would just say to myself, be still and know that I am God. And something would come, this calmness would come over me, right? And that's where I got it from. That and I can do all things in Christ to strengthen me, and peace be still. Those are my go-to, and also the Lord is my shepherd. In the part one time I was walking in the dark, and I started to fear, and I remember thinking, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for God is with me. I would say that over and over again. So those were kind of my go-to scriptures as a kid coming up. Those are my go-to scriptures, yes. So today's conversation is be still and know. All this talk and turmoil and noise, movement, and desire is outside the veil. Because inside the veil is silence and calm and peace. The science of the mind on page 257 says, the spirit within me is in perfect rest. The center of my being is quiet and poised. I let my inner spirit fill my whole being with peace and stillness. I let the divine tranquility fill my soul. Divine tranquility, I love it. You see, it seems counterintuitive to write about the stillness inside the veil. That secret place of the Most High, as Dr. Ernest Holmes calls it. You see, using words to capture the essence of that sacred silence is difficult. I know it. I felt it. I've done what I can to rest in it during my times of meditation and contemplation. How can I describe it for someone else? I can tell you that the reverberations and energies of the stillness that is the Godhead within my soul are so powerful but yet peaceful. You see, when I can close the door on the commotion and noise of this world and enter into the inner sanctuary, all is harmony, order, and love. And in this place, nothing, absolutely nothing can disturb my serenity, especially when my human experience is in discord. And come on, y'all. See, Psalm 46 of the whole Old Testament tells us what? Be still and know that I am God. Still and know that I am God. You see, the world asks us to be busy, but God asks us to be still so
so that we can hear his voice and be open to receiving love and guidance. Nothing in creation is so God-like as stillness, says Master Eckhart. Is it any wonder that if we are distracted by our texts and Snapchats and Instagrams and Facebook and music and television, radio, or even our Fitbits, we drift further away from the inner call of a soft voice. It's time to drop the world, pull aside the veil, and go inside. And you will always hear, welcome home, beloved. Ooh, welcome home, beloved. Today's affirmation is, I embrace the silence and the peace of my soul and release everything else. Come on, family, together. I embrace the silence and the peace of my soul, and release everything else. Ooh, I embrace the silence and the peace of my soul, and the release of everything else. I release it, Father. Ooh, I just love this. I just love synchronicity. I just love how God shows up. Because in the stillness is where the peace of my soul. And sometimes I think about Jesus and the story of Jesus when they were on the boat and the disciples and the wind began to pick up and the storm began to moved the boat in such a way that it became frightening to the disciples. And have you ever been on a water when the winds are blowing high and the water's bumpy? It can be a scary ride. And I remember the fear consumed the disciples so that they screamed out Jesus' name. And Jesus was asleep in the storm. And I remember the disciples being so filled with anxiety that they were screaming Jesus' name to the point that Jesus got up and said, what in the world? And he looked at the disciples, thinking, haven't I taught you better than this? Where, O ye of little faith? And how easy we could forget all the blessings that we've been through, many storms, and how God has taken us through many storms. But as soon as another storm, I can imagine just how irritated Jesus was, because how can you forget who you are? You're bigger than the storm. So Jesus looked at the storm after looking at the disciples and said to them, oh, ye of little faith, and looked at the storm and spoke into the wind, peace, peace. Be still. Sometimes when my life is upside down and topsy-turvy, I just get still and sit in the middle of my bed and I say, peace. Be still. And I speak peace to every cell in my body, and I begin to speak peace to my anxiety. I begin to speak peace to my bank account or whatever is disturbing me at the time. Peace, be still. Because I know when I enter into my inner sanctuary where all the answers lie, because this is not a surprise to God right here. You see, this is not a surprise. So I have to recognize that in the stillness is my God space, within my soul is my powerful yet peaceful place to be. And I have to close the door on the noise that's going on that's not reminding me of my own harmony, order, and love. Even if it's my husband, even if it's my child, I got to go in. Peace. Be still. Peace. I remember hearing this story of a legend relating an incident that occurred in the life of John, who they called the Apostle of Love. It seemed that John was sharing the teachings of Jesus with a group of believers in Ephesians, and the group grew tired of this apostle's lengthy monologue on love. And one of the bolder believers asked John, "Can't you talk about something else? All this information on love is becoming boring." John replied, "There's nothing else but love, love, and more love." I'm sure if Deepak Chopra had been in the group, he would have echoed John's answer. Deepak writes, "Love is the only reality, and love is the ultimate experience. Since there's nothing else that really matters, it behooves us all to begin to make love our true priority in life." You see, we need to recognize the importance of love, not just with lip service, but by integrating love into our very being. John's first epistle letter to the seekers and believers in Ephesians stressed that they should use love as the basis for building all of their relationships. You see, he was not speaking of the sentimental, conditional, emotional that many equate with love, but the unconditional love of the Spirit. You see, love, journey, family, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's in John 4:11. The same chapter John writes that God and love are synonymous because God is love. 1 John 4:16. God is love and love is God. And when you see love in action, you actually see God in expression. You see, when you can get into that space of your stillness and peace, that's when you really see God's love in expression. You see, God's love permeates the universe and is present at the center of each and every one of our souls as the Christ consciousness, God's idea of God's self. God's love is omnipresent. From the very young can come to this understanding. Peace. Be still. You see, God's love transcends our actions and reactions. Not only is God's love omnipresent, God's love is unconditional, having no strings attached. There is no, "If you do this, I'll love you more," or "If you act badly, I won't love you until you get your act together." You see, our past life, present mode of living, or how we plan to live in the future is immaterial because God loves us anyway. God causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, according to Matthew 5:45. You see, God does not withhold the fragrance of his flowers from those who miss the mark, who fail to express the attributes of God. God's trees give shady coolness to whatever place we, rich and poor, because God's love is in action. His love is the spiritual energy that powers the rhythm, perpetual, orderly action throughout the universe. This energy and this power is God pouring out God's love to God's creation. It's God casting out the fear resulting from lack of love for ourselves. It is God bringing light into the dark shadows of lies burdened with residue from what we call missing the mark. It is God harmonizing discordant relationships. It is freeing souls locked in hate-filled prisons of their own mind built by unforgiveness. It is God seeing the universe and calling it good and very good. It's God healing diseased bodies, crippled, confused, depressed minds in a physical world that may even go mad. But Spirit needs each and every one of us because we are potential outlets of this powerful spiritual gift of love that God has placed at the core of our being. This love is not to be hidden or hoarded, for the supply is endless. The more of it we give, the more of it we receive. Since God is formless spirit, Spirit needs us to express its unconditional love in all of our activities of our daily living. Spirit has no hands to soothe. And I want you to really think about this, because you outlet for the expression of God. You are the expression. when God decided to create you and send you to the planet, God placed God's self all inside of you. You are the presence of God in physical clothes. And I want you to marinate on the idea of what that really looks like. So many times we hold on to unforgiveness. We hold on to things that no longer serve our higher purpose. And before you know it, we're caught up in a mess. Created so amazing that God takes that mess and make a message. God will take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. God will take the peace and make a masterpiece. Peace, be still. You see, I pray that the members of the Unforgiveness Club with me will reconnect to God's love. When we hear the saying that Jesus said that forgiveness 70 times 7, I think God really concerns himself with the math of our forgiveness. There's no amount of times that we should not forgive. What that really is saying is it's an unlimited . You see, unforgiveness is the price that we cannot afford to pay. That we can have our unforgiveness if we choose, but we will also have things that come with unforgiveness. Sometimes unforgiveness can manifest as stomach ulcers, heart trouble, mental and physical breakdowns. It's just time to surrender, fam. The yesterday conversation, which I never thought that I would get so many texts on this young lady's conversation about her ability to navigate life, that so many people decided to seek help, which I'm grateful. But we got to surrender. And I think getting help was so positive. And I'm grateful that her testimony decided to allow people to go get support. But it's time for us to stop being hearers of the word. Thank you, God. It's time for us to cease stumbling around in the darkness of the past. Thank you for switching on the light of understanding, enabling us to live in the now, God. As we forgive all people, places, and things to whom we gave our power to hurt. The power to hurt us in any way. We got to forgive ourselves for relinquishing our power to those people, Holy Spirit. I know that each and every one of us are important fractions of our holy whole. You protect us, Holy Spirit, and spiritually guide us as a loving parent, you comfort and console us as a loving mother. Even though you are impersonal spirit, you are personal to each and every one of us. And for in deep meditative moments, we feel your spirit overflowing in our soul. Come, Holy Spirit. Your presence obliterates any unforgiveness in our soul of which we are unaware. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oftentimes we hear the commandment to love our neighbors and somewhat misunderstood. Usually we think of our neighbors as the person who lives next door, but neighbors is anyone or anything that is made of the substance of God. Whether they are next door or in a faraway place, when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we give them the help they need. When we are totally absorbed in helping others, we find that we can experience peace and joy that sometimes seems beyond our wildest imagination. How do we enter to that place? You know, there is a saying in the Buddhist tradition, you can explore the universe looking for someone who is more deserving of your love than yourself, and you will not find that person anywhere. I want you to marinate on that. I want you to think about that. You see, Jesus commanded that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If we have no love for ourselves, it must be difficult, huh? Even impossible to love anyone else. How can we give something that we do not possess? You see that saying in the Buddhist tradition? I'm going to say it again. You can explore the universe looking for someone who is more deserving of your love than yourself, and you will not find that person anywhere. You see, loving yourself is not egotistical or narcissistic, nor does it mean like that old witch in the fairy tale Snow White who spent her days and nights in the mirror asking, who is the fairest of them all? Oh, yes, who is the fairest of it all? But it does mean that when we look in the mirror, we see a unique, loved, valuable, amazing gift to the planet, a spiritual masterpiece that's crowned with glory and honor, with complete control over our thoughts and feelings. I love the reflection in my mirror. And when we love ourselves, we have no problem with self-image or feelings of inferiority. We know who and whose and what we are. When I love myself, I honor myself. And if anything is internalized by me from doctrine, dharma, philosophy, or propaganda, anything that makes me say about me, I don't count, this is violence against God. Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm going against God when I think anything other than I am valuable, I am amazing, I am a spiritual masterpiece. I love the reflection in the mirror. And it's even easy to love those that we perceive as enemies. I know for some this is a tall order. And some of us be like, oh, Lord, it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Because I cannot love my perceived enemies, right? But Anthony DeMello's insight helped me bring an imagined enemy back to earth. In my mind, I had sent her to an uninhabited planet where I thought this enemy belonged. But how could I write on love or have any feelings of inimity pollute my soul? Why was I allowing someone to occupy and control any thoughts? Anthony said. He said every time he was irritated or angry with someone, the one to look at it was himself. He had to ask himself, what does this irritation tell me about myself? The big question, right? How am I being irritated with you because you've done something to me? Means I need to look at myself and ask, what does this irritation tell me about myself? You see, there's a real possibility that this person's seeming defects are also even found in me. Can you imagine? This person that I'm looking at, with all these defects and flaws, that these same defects and flaws can be found in me. You see, I expected my imagined enemy to behave according to my standards. Who said that my standards were correct? She only could behave according to her level of awareness, right? Even though it is all right to recognize unjust behavior in the spiritual being, I now consider her my teacher, who illumined one of the hidden darkness in my soul. And he said, I considered this person to be my teacher, who illumined one of the hidden darknesses in my soul. You see, it's important for me to remember that spiritual love is beholding and bearing witness to the Christ in all people. Spiritual love does not mean that I must agree with or even like the actions or even the reactions of others. But when we begin to see people as they really are, God's love and expression, we can transcend any negative feelings that would keep us in bondage to hate. Our brothers showed us that love was a friend to all of us. So what if we ate
with the prostitutes? So what if we consorted with thieves and the so-called dregs of society? You see, Jesus saw them for what they really were, that he saw them as himself. He recognized and witnessed the Christ within each and every one of us. In F.B. Whitney's poem, he says, I behold the Christ in you. Behold the Christ in you. See, this describes and beheld how Jesus saw every person with whom he came in contact. So my goal is to do the same. My goal is to come in the presence of each and every one of us and behold the Christ. I behold the Christ in you. This is the poem. I behold the Christ in you. Here the life of God I see. I can see a great peace too. I can see you whole and free. I behold the Christ in you. I can see it as you walk. I can see this in all you do. I can see this as you talk, because I behold God's love expressed through you. I can see you filled with power. I can see you ever blessed. I see Christ in you hour by hour. Because I behold the Christ in you, I can see that perfect one led by God in all you do. Led by God in all you do, I can see God's work is done. You see, when we find the strength to forgive, when we find sincere happiness in the good fortunes of others, when we know not believe that our mission is to be a pipeline for God's love. Let me say that again. When we know and not just believe that our mission is to be a pipeline for God's love, we will then be able to bear witness to and recognize the Christ in ourselves and our neighbors. Human obstacles to loving will fall away. Then if we listen closely, we can hear Jesus say, come, ye blessed, live in the kingdom with me, where love stories are not the exception, but the rule. Where your love story will not be the exception, but the rule. Come, my beloved love. See, I believe love is the gift of the Holy Spirit, power that we can consciously use to move beyond the soulful growth experiences that we name limitations. You see, love is our birthright. We only have to claim it and begin to use it. You see, we can begin to use our love to move through life's limitations and manifest our highest visions, or we can choose to remain fearful and continue to dream our dreams without ever giving them the chance to live. Struggling along through life without deciding to use love is like being the heir of the world's richest person and deciding not to claim our inheritance, but to live in poverty. You see, Jesus the Christ, throughout his ministry, taught the love. Love. You see, Jesus encountered two blind men requesting to be healed. And before Jesus agrees to lay his hand on them, he questions their belief in the power to restore their sight. And only after they affirmed their belief does Jesus touch their eyes, declaring, according to your faith, be it unto you. Look at where you are now in your life. Do you feel that your love is being used to create the life you desire? It's time for us to believe in the miracle of love. No matter where you are, whether you're rebuilding your life, building your life, love will lead us through the places of the unknown. I'll never forget Susan Peters' book about the coal pioneers, her story of her being in Liberia in West Africa. She and her family enjoyed the friendly people, the hot weather, and the sandy beaches. An entrepreneur, she was in the midst of launching her new business in 1990 when the political condition deteriorated. And by May of 1990, they found themselves in the midst of what the British broadcasting system called the worst civil war the civil war in Nigeria. For business reasons, she defied the U.S. States Department's call for the immediate evacuations of American citizens from Liberia. Now, some of y'all know Susan Peter, who live here in Chicago. And she recalled prayerfully asking the Creator to send her a sign if she should flee the country. Otherwise, her intention was to wait for the war out. She totally relied on love, feeling that she and God had touched, and she knew that somehow her family would be protected. And they were, while she and her three children, ranging in ages from 6 to 11 years old, waited and waited. Several families in the Everly area were forced from their homes and slaughtered by soldiers. The country was in the midst of chaos. Starvation was widespread. And Susan recalled that her family ate sparingly so that they could share with others, but they ate every day and were unharmed. And then after several months, Susan felt she received an unmistakable sign. They must flee. She shudders when she recalls that the message to my spirit was unmistakable. She did not ignore or second-guess the message. Look at love showing up. She remembers the overwhelming urge, to go now, and was accompanied by an incredible burst of energy that was not hers. She related, I had no idea what to do next. There was no escape plan to orchestrate, but I had to cling to the feeling of love and peace and faith. And what happened next is a long love story, and the subject that she said she's going to do and make a screenplay. But the outcome was that God made a way for her family to leave the country the very next day. They traveled through hostile territory, and they passed through security checkpoints and were repeatedly questioned and threatened. Finally, they reached safety at the American embassy and was whisked aboard a C-130 helicopter and airlifted to a submarine hovering off the coast of Liberia. And every step of the way, as they moved forward in the unknown, at the proper moment, another piece of the puzzle was provided: a shortwave radio, soldiers that could be bribed, a contact that spoke the language of the checkpoint guards, a pivotal lie that went undetected, an angel appearing out of nowhere, and a person that she had befriended in Libya who turned out to be a U.S. government agent. There was no way to foresee what would happen next. She trusted and moved forward. You see, Susan's experience reminds me of a saying on a tag of an herbal tea, saying love is doing, is daring the soul to go beyond what the eyes can see. You see, clearly this example demonstrates God's power to lift, shoulder, and carry us when we are powerless to do anything. You see, until your spirit acknowledge having gone through this life, love, faith-affirming experience, your concept of love is purely intellectual. But what if I told you love is not an intellectual process? What if I told you love was a heart process? See, your own love unexplored is an undeveloped muscle. It's time for us to reflect upon love and let love carry us through. Because love has drawing power. Love has drawing power. You see, even before a word is uttered or a sound is heard, our silent thoughts are quietly being cultivated and transformed into love that we first create in our mind. You see, the language of love is not always verbally interpreted. See, the language of love is represented in our heart, in our inner feelings, in the understanding, in the absolute norm beyond the shadow of a doubt that the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresence of God, that everything is possible. Knowing that our needs are already met. Knowing that we can thrive and prosper in a world that is so loving to us, that the universe is always wanting nothing but the best. How many of us really know that our love can move mountains? That love propels and fuels the dreams, the visions. Sometimes love even communicates to us, and through us, through the vision and dream. Time, family, to recognize love is a verb. See, when we start to move and act in the energy of love, there will be change. If we don't take some direct action, nothing in our lives will change. We have to translate our love into action. The universe holds us responsible to act upon our love-directed dreams. Remember, it's God's preview of the coming attraction. And all we have to do is hold that dream and move in action. And it's God's will that does the work. It's take action. Thomas Edison said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. 1% inspiration. Power us to move mountains. But love will transcend the doggone mountain. Speak only the language of love in the face of adversity. Exercise the control of what comes up through your throat and out of your mouth and what's in your feelings. It bestows upon you a defining power that molds the outcome of everything you do. Read inspiring literature. Pray. Freely give thanks to God for what you have and asking for God's perfect guidance. Once you receive guidance, move through it with love and obey it. Remember, love is a verb. Use your indwelling love energy. Each time you do, it grows. Pay attention to your desire to manifest your dreams. This is God calling you into action. This is love calling you to move. If you ignore the call, life keeps slapping you in the face to get your attention. This was a big one for me. Finally, trust that even love with all your heart, trust in the Most High with all your heart, and lean not into thy own understanding, and claim your heritage, because love will lead you into your place of blessing. Love will lead you into your place of blessing. That's my message for today. Let love lead the way. And I'm going to remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And remember, keep your head to the sky. And don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live them, family. This is Mesa, right here on the Love Journey.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun, and I want to be free, spiritually. I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go, but what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us. So we never have to worry and shed a tear. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.
Expand my territory with your hand.